Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. I'm excited to be here tonight. We're going to be talking about a show that Courtney and I have been talking about, probably doing for at least 6 months now. We've been talking and talking and talking about it, but now it's finally here. You know, after holidays and everything, you know, things get a little bit behind, and, you know, we start talking about other things. But reality TV, guys, is something that is, captivated the, entire world, and in fact, over the last, I'd say, about 5 to 10 years, and when we look at the black community, a lot of our issues can actually be seen played out on the small screen week in and week out. And what we want to do tonight is talk about obviously people say they're fake and they're scripted and it's just buffoonery, and many of those things are true. But what we like to do here on this show is use certain situations that people on a large scale can relate to, and use them as teaching tools to say, okay, yes, this is buffoonery. Yes, this fight happened. Yes, these people are obviously putting themselves in unhealthy situations. But these are some lessons that can be learned. These are some ways that you guys can help avoid these same types of situations from happening to you. So. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. Tonight's actual topic is really how to avoid, being the other woman. If you look at some of these reality shows, many of them, in fact, most of them, and many of the main storylines actually revolve around, love triangles, revolve around, women subjecting themselves to, liars, dogs, cheaters, and players, and being cheated on, and being the baby's mom, and the baby mama drama, all that type of stuff. And these are actual real life situations that I know me personally, I help women to overcome every day, and I'm sure many people listening around the world right now can relate to on some level. So tonight we want to talk about the Housewives of Atlanta. We want to talk about Love and Hip Hop New York. We're going to talk about Marrying the Game, the Kardashians, T.I. and Tiny. Some of the most popular shows that are out there are really good teaching tools. So that's what we're going to do for a little bit this evening. You guys are welcome to call in with any types of comments or feedback. I know these are pretty popular shows, in our community. Definitely 646-200-0366. The lines are always open. Anytime that we're live, just hit the number 1 on your keypad. If you have anything to add to the discussion. Courtney is here with me tonight. Courtney, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You and I, we took a couple days off, had a pretty good show the other night where we were talking about, we've been talking about a lot of good things lately. I mean, the last few weeks, if you guys are, familiar, if you guys, are avid listeners of the Dadon Tolbert Show, we've been doing some pretty, deep shows. We obviously did our Grammy special where we dissected, some of the performances and the artists and the imagery and symbolism that could, was found in many of them. Just a lot of, I'm just looking at some of the past shows. I would just say, look, in the interest of time, definitely just if you missed any shows over the last few weeks, check out the archives on iTunes or at DadonTolbertShow.com. Most recently, we were last live talking about The Perfect Wife on Saturday night, which, a lot of people have expressed a, an interest in. A lot of people have expressed thanks, for me having, James, Lewis, Marv, myself, and even Courtney to add a different perspective than what, is commonly, seen out here, portrayed in the media. You don't often hear men talking about, from a realistic standpoint, from a godly standpoint even, what they look for in a wife, what will actually make that man get down on one knee and propose to you. So that was Saturday night. If you guys missed it, if you were out on a date or, somewhere else, you definitely want to make sure you, you stay up to date with these shows, because every show is going to contain some really important information. Courtney, any feedback on our special on The Perfect Wife?
Oh, that was an excellent show. It was so good because, it just featured men that just brought you know, a lot of different perspectives, and it was just it was really good because it was unlike what I probably would have seen on TV, you know, just piggybacking off of what you were saying, just how, you know, unrealistic it is as far as the TV shows, and how they want you to think that, how they want you to believe that black men believe a certain way about black women. You know, the misconceptions were cleared in the show. So it's not all about, you know, how well you can cook and clean a house, you know, but it's about the more important qualities, the inner qualities. And it was just very good. And I received a lot of great feedback on the show. A lot of people enjoyed it. I know a lot of people were taking notes as well. So I appreciated the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I was thinking about, I came across a video on YouTube from a few years ago where Steve Harvey was speaking about, you know, I think it was right around the time where he came out with Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Actually, I think the new book was actually about to come out at that point. And he was talking about, you know, just black men. You know, I remember he was encouraging black men, or excuse me, black women to date older men. She was saying, you know, he was saying, like, if you're a 35-year-old woman, you know, 30, 35, even 40, you know, it may be best to think outside the box and, you know, and date, you know, over 40-year-old men, 50-year-old men even, because, you know, men of the younger generation, you know, the 20s and 30s, they, you know, don't have manners. They are uneducated. They, you know, don't know how to treat women. And I was just like, you know, like, wow, I was just actually flabbergasted at that because, you know, this is a black man. This is, you know, someone who has a voice that reaches, you know, millions of people every day. And it's sending a message basically that's saying there are no good men, you know, in that demographic of you know, 30, 25 to 35, and it's just, which is absolutely ridiculous. So one of the things that we try to do is really just help you guys understand that it's not about statistics. It's not about these, you know, these numbers of men who are in jail and, you know, not graduating from school and dead or in the streets or gay or, you know, all that is ridiculous. You know, at the end of the day, it's about you and what the word says about, you know, what you can have when you delight yourself in the Lord, you know, achieving the desires of your heart. See, those are the little things that statistics really don't have anything to do with. You know what I'm saying? You could be in Alaska. You could be in Wisconsin. You could be in Mississippi. It doesn't matter where you are or what the demographic is, the population is. Statistics say it has everything to do with you and your level of emotional availability. Whether we're talking about reality TV, whether we're talking about someone in your hometown, it's all about how you view yourself, which will determine how these men are viewing you. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. We're going to use some of these very popular TV shows to illustrate that, you know, as far as what you should expect, you know, and what you should not settle for, you know, as far as, you know, just as far as love, as far as respectability. All right, so that's what we're going to do tonight. I wanted to, one of the things, you know, we've been talking about doing this for a little bit, but what really was the catalyst to me, you know, pulling the trigger and say, okay, you know, we got to talk about this, like, you know, this week is because last night I know that the Love & Hip Hop reunion was on, part one of it, you know, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. I know you're not really into the show, Courtney, did you happen to catch it? Did you see it at all?
Like 5 minutes. So I really didn't watch it. I was flipping through channels.
What the parts of it that you did see, what were your thoughts?
Well,
and I'm just gonna real quick.
I'm sorry,
real quick, Courtney. I'm sorry, and I'm just gonna humor you, you know, and go along with your BS because everyone knows is like, come on, Courtney, you know you were watching it. So, we'll just for the sake of the moment pretend like you're telling the truth, like you only watched 5 minutes of it. What did you think for the 5 minutes that you watched?
Really, I actually did watch only 5 minutes of it, but I saw the scene when what's her name? Tara was on stage with Peter Gunn. And it was just actually ridiculous. It was just obvious that, you know, she's still in love with him but she's trying to put up a front as if she's not or as if she's tough. But it's so obvious that, you know, she's still in love with him. And it's obvious that he still has her wrapped around his finger. That was very apparent.
Absolutely. One of the things that I posted on Facebook right around the time when that was on was I said, ladies, if a man is dealing with you, okay, because really keep in mind, we're talking tonight about how to avoid being the other woman. You guys got to really look at that, because every woman on these shows, and we'll illustrate that tonight, really is the other woman on some level. Doesn't matter what show we're talking about. And I'll tell you why I say that as we go, you know, as we go through it. But, you know, if a man is dealing with you on and off, as they were for 13 years, all right, ladies, you got to understand, you are the other woman. Now, this is, you know, someone who thought that she had a man who loved her, who was going to commit to her, who was going to spend the rest of his life just because they had a child, just because they had time, ladies. But what you got to realize is time isn't always on your side. Time isn't always a good thing. Yeah, you have time invested. That, in many cases for women, that's like, oh, we have time, we have years. But for men, the longer we're with you, the more we don't want to be with you. Do you guys know that? That's how men are different. Men and women are different in that respect. You know, you guys, you know, get more emotionally attached to us, where we become emotionally detached the more time we spend with you without a commitment. And when I say without a commitment, I mean marriage. I mean, like, you know, a ring. I mean planning a wedding. All that other stuff is just a waste of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, let me just break it down a little bit for you. You know, what you got to understand is when we see something that we want as men, we go after it. Right? That's just what we do, whether it's the new PlayStation 4, whether it's a car, you know, whether it's a, you know, I mean, I just bought a new car today, you know what I'm saying? This is just something that I, you know, wanted to do. You know, I saw it, I went after, boom, got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what we as men, how we operate. We don't waste time. We move, you know, quickly. And for whatever reason, and women will even see that about us. You know what I'm saying? You guys will see that we're go-getters. You will see that we're ambitious in certain aspects of our lives, but for whatever reason, You'll see how we interact with you and say, oh, it must be. That's just with that stuff. Yeah, he's ambitious with that. But, you know, when it comes to me, we need to take it slow. He's just letting it. No, he's not letting anything. So if he's not moving fast with you, if he's not going after you, if he's not pursuing, well, I shouldn't say, you know, I don't like that word. It's not about pursuit, because that implies that you're running away. You're trying to, but if he's not passionate about making, you know, taking your relationship to the next level at whatever level you're at. What I mean by that is if you meet and you're interested in each other, if he's not passionate about wifing you up, getting into a relationship, if you're already in a relationship, if he's not passionate about, you know, getting engaged and you know, and if you're engaged, if he's not passionate about planning the wedding, like all these things are very, very, very clear signs that he is not, you know, viewing you in that way. And a lot of women will ask me and have asked me, well, they don't hurt, I hear you, but, you know, why would he do that? Why would a man stay with a woman for 13 years, for 5 years, for 3 years, for any amount of years, but not be serious about it? I said, it's very simple. You know, it's that he's not with you. See, that's the thing. A lot of women, they ask that question as if they're actually with that man. You see, what men do is we do just enough, you know, when we're viewing you in that way, we do just enough to say, yeah, I can get her to this point, you know, but what do I have to do to keep her from walking away? Can I do just enough to say, you know what, she ain't going nowhere. Once we get you to that point, we got you. And so it's all about recognizing, ladies, when you're being viewed in that manner, so you don't have to be, you know, the target of those types of games. Because a man will tell you everything in the world. These men are fast talkers. Matter of fact, Courtney, you ever dealt with a fast talker, a slick talker, somebody could just say the right things at the right moment to keep you from walking away? Not to really keep take it to that next level, but just enough to keep you from walking away.
Of course. Yep, I have.
Right. And that's what a lot of women are dealing with right now. They're dealing with the fast talkers as opposed to the power move makers. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the talk. I'm talking about the men who actually show up with the ring. I was talking to a young woman today that I work with through private counseling, and she said, "Well, you know, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why he would go to the extreme." I said, "Well, what extreme did he go to?" She said, "I just don't see why he would, you know, talk to me for, you know, for hours and tell me all these things and, you know, and show up at my house, you know, unannounced." I said, "Ladies, you got to understand, that's, you know, that's in many cases, that's actually fun for these men. You know, it's a turn on. It's, you know, it's a rush. You know, if you block him, or, you know, block your number, or you delete him off Facebook, so to try to make it impossible for him to get in touch with you, that doesn't mean, I mean, these men play, you know, black ops, you know, and all these, like, super mystery games and war games and fighting games that where you got to go through multiple levels just to try to succeed. And, I mean, that's what we do in our spare time. That's what we do for fun. You know, what better, you know, form of entertainment than actually doing that type of stuff in real life? I'm sure if they made a video game where you could, you know, play with the emotions of a woman's heart and, you know, have sex with her and get that rush and, you know, I mean, it would be a bestseller. You know, these men do this stuff for fun. And all I'm saying is, ladies, you got to take yourself out of the game cube. You know what I'm saying? Like, remove yourself from the equation. You know, I mean, Courtney, I'm sure you know what it's like to have your heart played with.
Yes, I do. Just the emotional roller coasters are the ups, and I should say the perceived ups and downs, and, you know, him chasing after me and me thinking, oh, well, he's gone throughout all of this, so, you know, he must have changed. You know, he's a changed man, and I should give him another shot. And then next thing I know, I'm having sex with him. And then once that happens, it's back to how it used to be, you know, and it was just the same cycle over and over and over again. And so that's where a lot of women, they get caught up. They get caught up in, you know, men playing those games. And we just really have to, like you said, just really see it for what it is. Like, a man that really cares about you is not going to play games with you.
Right. A lot of, you know, I posted the other day on my Facebook page that, you know, God is not the author of confusion. So, I mean, that really is a very powerful, it's a very simple statement, but a very powerful statement, because what it's saying is that if you're confused about your situation, if you don't know what's going on, if you're, you know, uncertain about his intentions towards you, that's a pretty clear sign that there is no intentions towards you, you know, none that's positive, at least. You know, and so, you know, if you just think, I mean, that's very simple. If you're confused, then that means he doesn't want to be with you, because when a man is serious about you, he's going to do everything in his power so that you're not confused. That's the whole point of what we do. We make it so that you're not confused. We make it so that there is no chance, you know, of you, you know, not knowing the next stage. All right, so think about that. So if you look at back at Love and Hip Hop, we look at Peter Guns and Tara. You know, there were all types of ups and downs. This dude, you know, he's a funny dude. You know, he's a real funny dude. This guy straight up married, you know, Amina. This is someone that he was with. He was with Tara for like 13 years. And she would have said yes to a marriage proposal at the drop of a dime, a drop of a hat. You know what I'm saying? And he never did it, because the reality is he never wanted to be with her. And if you know, somebody would say, well, dang, well, how could he not only just be with this new chick, but marry her so quickly? That's, I mean, obviously he's a weirdo, he's a psycho, he's the epitome of a non-elite man. But the point is, a man is a man. As I said earlier, when we see something we want, we go after it. whether we're talking about a man of God, whether you're talking about the scum of the earth. Men are going to do what men do, and that's go after what they want. Peter Guns wanted, you know, Amina. Now, is that to say that he's going to treat her right, and he's going to, I mean, you know, probably not, and, you know, who knows. But the point, you guys get my point. He got what he wanted, and she's what he wanted right now, and so he married her. And so you really got to look at that type of stuff, you know, and just don't be, really, you don't want to be either one of those, you know, women. You know, I'm not saying that she's in an ideal situation, because clearly she's not. You know, neither one of them is, but you see what I'm saying? You don't want to just be dealing with a man who is clearly in that player stage. He even said on the reunion show, he was like, look, I really don't know. I never knew how to be exclusive. I never knew how to be monogamous. I wasn't taught that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, I was that guy who was always a player, and he's still a player. You know, which is fine. You know, a lot of women, you know, they stress themselves out about, you know, trying to understand the mind of a player. In fact, I mean, you know, and we'll help you with that. We just did a show, what was that, 2 weeks ago, you know, on, you know, men in the player stage, where we talked about Peter Guns, Little Scrappy, and a lot of these reality show guys, and, you know, just men in general who are clearly in the player stage, you know. But it's not really about understanding it, because there's a lot, I was telling someone today, there's a lot of things that will happen in life that you'll never understand. I mean, you can't understand, you know, why someone would kill a child. And you can't understand why someone would, you know, just go into a mall and start shooting. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, you can't understand that, because that would mean that you would be crazy. You'd have to think like a crazy person. You know, if you're not crazy, you can't do that. So it's not always about understanding. It's just about protecting. It's about protecting yourself from those types of men who have those types of mentalities, those types of behavioral patterns. All right. In fact, I said online, you know, in order to find love, because isn't that what we're here for? You know, that's what we're all here for, is to find love. So what I said was the first step in that, well, two things. The first step in finding love is first both admitting that you want and you need it. Okay, a lot of people have developed that, you know, because of what they've been through. Oh, I don't need a man, or I don't need love, and I'm okay being by myself. You'll never have love if you have that mentality. That's the first thing. You got to admit that you want it and that you need it. That can be uncomfortable for many women, saying they need something. They've grown up, you know, many cases without a father, without, you know, ever having true love, you know, in fact, having the opposite. So they say, well, I don't need anything. Well, no, you actually do. The Bible actually confirms that we all need love, because it says without love, you're just like a weirdo. You're a loser. You know, it says you're like a clanging cymbal. You know, it says it doesn't matter if you can tell, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can know everything, have all knowledge, prophesy everything. But without love, you're worthless. So, and that goes for everyone. We're all worthless. Adam was incomplete because he had, you know, no love in his life. That's why God created Eve. So, I mean, you know, we all, men and women, are worthless without love. And, again, the Bible confirms that for all the happily single women out there. You know what I'm saying? Courtney, you were one of those women at one point who classified themselves as being happily single.
Yeah. Wow. Kind of laughing out of embarrassment, but yes, I was. I used to tell people, you know, I'm doing me, and trying to make it seem like it was just one big party. And in reality, I was miserable. Like, I would go out and party and have a good time and, you know, make it seem like nothing bothered me. But when I came home, like, I would be crying myself to sleep. You know, it was just miserable. Trying to put on a front for people and, you know, just trying to play those games. And I'm so happy I finally come to the point where I've told myself that I both want and need love. Because you're right. You do have to admit that to yourself. There's nothing wrong with admitting it. I don't know if people think it makes them weak to admit that, but it doesn't. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Right. A lot of times I encounter women who have a problem with vulnerability. You know, in many cases, you know, you look at, you know, women who've been molested, women who've been abused, and a lot of this stuff is going unreported. you know, undealt with. And, you know, so, you know, they had to be strong. They had to, you know, fight, you know, women, fight men growing up. You know, and so a lot of times you have that wall up. You have that defense mechanism already set in place for whatever that come, you know, may come in front of you. But when it comes to love, you really got to let that go. You know, you have to be vulnerable. You have to let the guard down. Otherwise, you know, people are going to walk into a wall. Who wants to walk into a wall and bump their head? You know, if somebody's going to, you know, a wall is going to keep everything out. It's going to keep out the good people. It's going to keep out the bad people. It's going to keep everybody out. It's going to keep out family. It's going to keep out friends. You know, yeah, it'll keep out the criminals. But what about the loved ones that want to come in? A wall is a wall. So you really got to look at it from that perspective. These men aren't trying. That's what we talked about on Saturday night, talking about the perfect wife in regards to emotional availability. That's what you know, these advertisements that you guys see advertised, Courtney puts up, I put up, that's what we do, is we focus on, you know, an emotional availability assessment that's specifically designed to get the wall down so that you can, you know, have the type of life that you, you know, that you want. So that's the first thing, is admitting that you both want and need it. Because remember, in going back to these shows, you look at the Love and Hip Hops, you look at, you know, some of these other you know, couples and situations. I mean, these are all seriously guarded women, emotionally unavailable women. You know, Evelyn, you know, and Chad. I mean, we did a whole show. I don't know if you guys remember all this stuff. We talked about it. Like that whole headbutt, like when the stuff hit the fan, that was just like last year. We talked about them, you know, 3 years ago. We predicted all of that. Me, Gerald, like this is stuff that's documented. You know what I'm saying? I specifically said, you know, watch them, because the level of emotional unavailability of Evelyn, you know, and the crazy, you know, non-elite man nature of Chad Ocho Cinco, you know, as he was known at the time, I said something catastrophic is going to happen. I remember saying it just as short as I'm sitting here right now. I said, it's not going to be something that they're just going to break up and they're just going to go their separate ways. You know, we say that. And I said, Gerald said it. You know, I said it. I said, we're going to witness, you know, disaster. And I'll say the same thing with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. It's not. I'm telling y'all now. So watch out the next couple of years. I mean, something catastrophic is going to happen. You know, I mean, and it's inevitable. And so, I'm not wishing bad. I'm just saying you cannot base a relationship, you know, a successful relationship, one, that's not rooted in Christ, you know, two, that's where you have an emotionally unavailable woman and a non-elite man. That's like grounds for like disaster right there, you know. So think about things. But the second thing that I was saying in regards to just love is, I said that in order to find love, you have to first forgive the one who once broke your heart. What am I talking about? Now, Corey, I mean, you know, I mean, you're a good example of this, actually, you know, and many other women, you know, can relate as well. There's usually one guy, yeah, you know, you dated this guy, you dated that guy, you were with him, broke up, maybe even married, but for most women, and I've worked with hundreds of women over the years, for most women, there's usually that one guy that really did a number on them. You know, and you guys know who I'm talking about. It's like always that one. It's like other ones may have hurt you, but it, usually the other guys are actually a result of that the heartbreak and the emotional unavailability caused by that one guy. I don't care if it was last year. I don't care if it was 7 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You know who I'm talking about. And it's not always that guy who took your virginity either. You know, a lot of times it's just that one guy who you just happen to deal with for a year and a half, 2 years, on and on. You know what I'm saying? You guys know. And that's the guy that when I work with women privately, we often have to focus on, because a lot of women, they reach out because of the guy they're dealing with now or the guy that they just got out of. But that's not the problem. That's an effect or a result of the problem. We got to get to the root of the problem, which for many women is that guy that they're still, you know, guarded about, still heartbroken about, that they never really got over. You know, the reason why some of these men are able to look at them and say, oh, you have unresolved issues, you have baggage, so I'm not going to treat you, you know, the way you want to be treated. And in fact, I'm going to target you. And that, you know, we got to deal with that. You know anything about having that one guy, Courtney?
Of course I do. Yes. That's something that I can definitely relate to. What I will say, in addition to what you just said, is, yeah, I mean, that's a part of it, you know, not letting go of, you know, what that man did to you. But another piece of it is not forgiving yourself for dealing with that man. I know a lot of women, including myself, have just dealt with that, just, you know, beating themselves up for just even being in a situation in the first place and just saying, how could I be so, you know, stupid for dealing with, you know, this person, and how did I allow myself to be treated that way? So as a result, you know, you start to just really talk badly about yourself, and that assists in the low self-esteem and assists in the baggage that you're carrying. It's like you just beating yourself up, and people can see that.
And that's what you just said is the most important thing. You said that, and people can see that, and you're absolutely right, they can, and they will. It's not something you can hide, ladies. A lot of women are single. Their Facebook page says single, but in many cases, they're still, like you said earlier, crying themselves to sleep, you know, dealing with hurt, pain, and resentment. One of the best shows that we've ever done here was a couple of years ago, you know, on that. It might even be time to revisit resentment. You know, just Google resentment on the Data on Tolbert show, where we literally took Beyonce's song and actually dissected the lyrics, you know, of that, you know, and it was an all-time classic show just because it's what many women can really relate to in regards to that one guy who just did a number on them, and that's the guy that has to be forgiven. In fact, I mean, you look at Tara and, you know, and Peter Guns. I mean, you know, she's out here trying to date, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, what some of the things that we saw on the show. But, you know, trying to date, not only when you have unresolved issues that are internal, I mean, this, you're letting your life play out in front of the cameras, and this is someone who's still dating, like, you know what I'm saying, still trying to get back out there, as if these men are idiots, as if these men don't know, like, okay, you're dealing with Peter Guns. Like, you're still in love with this guy. Like, you were just on TV last week, you know, like, crying about this guy. So, let me just go ahead and knowingly cut off, knowing that, cut off all these other women, you know, deal, go with you on a date and really think that we have some type of future? Ladies, that's, I mean, that's ludicrous. I mean, that would make no sense whatsoever for any man in his right mind to do. No one is going, we as men have certain fears. We're not afraid of commitment, but we're afraid of committing to an emotionally unavailable woman that's going to result in our lives being significantly, you know, changed and altered over the next, you know, 30, 40 years. That's the fear. So the moment that we see the red flags, the moment that we see anything that would indicate that you're not 100% available to give your heart and to receive my heart, these guys are either gone or they're just immediately putting you into the jump-off category. And what makes matters worse is what a lot of women do is, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's actually very sad. I mean, if you look at that one episode, like maybe a couple episodes ago, you know, she was like, all right, I just want to get out there. I just want to, you know, try something different. So a lot of times these women, and I'll tell you something, Tara is the type of woman who, you know, from what I've seen with her on the show, just, it's unfortunate because when she was like chilling, she seemed to be very classy, very educated, very well-spoken, never really saw her dressing slutty or anything like that. But interestingly enough, you know, when she decided that she wanted to just put herself out there, she, you know, started hanging out with, you know, hoes, you know, like Yandy and like some of these other chicks, you know, who are obviously bad, you know, what's it, K. Michelle, you know, they put her in some type of stripper outfit, some type of hoe attire, put on this ridiculous long blonde wig, you know, I'm glad they did that because I'm glad you guys got an opportunity to see what actually happens. You know, a lot of women, after getting their hearts broken, they go ahead and become hoes. They go outside of their character, outside of their norm, and they go out with somebody with a nice body, a nice handsome, you know, face, go ahead saying the right things, and in many cases, they go out and sleep with them. Why does that sound familiar? Oh, I know, one of the most popular movies of all time, it actually happened right there, Waiting to Exhale. Angela Bassett, you know, got her heart broken by the dude, got cheated on, went off, chopped all her hair off, went and had a one-night stand with the dude at the restaurant, you know, and just made herself a hoe, specifically because of the immaturity of another man. You know, look what Tara did. Shows up on the reunion show, chopped all her hair off, you know, before, went and put on a blonde wig, was all kissing the dude on the first date. Now, they didn't show it, but, I mean, who knows what happened with them. I think we can all use our imaginations and say, I'm pretty sure she slept with somebody other than Peter Guns since she stopped dealing with Peter Guns. I don't think anybody would say that's out of the question based on what we saw on the show. And so I think we all got to just look at it and say, wow, learn something from that. You know, don't turn to the bed of another man to take your mind off of the one who broke your heart. That's a good post right there. That's a good Facebook post, man. You guys might see that in the new book, man, How to Win the Heart of an Elite Man in 365 Days or Less. A lot of that type of advice in there. You know, look out for that this summer. But that's what most women do. It's sad to say. I've had a lot of women who used to deal with me. Good girls. You know me. I only dealt with the good girls. You know, the women who slept with, like, only two or three guys. You know what I mean? Five or six guys. You know, under 10 men. Respectable. Classy. Next thing you know, for whatever reason, things went awry. These chicks out there in the clubs, they out there. I see different things. I'm like, whoa, who are you? Like, I see it. I'm just saying, don't be that woman, ladies. Don't go from, you know, two to three partners, and the next thing you know, you get your heart broken. Next thing you know, you at like 13, 14 in the course of a year and a half or even less. It's not worth it. Am I lying?
No, not at all. But I was tempted to do that, though.
What?
I was tempted to. I love how you say it. You're funny.
I got that from Aubrey.
Oh, but,
that's how Aubrey be. That's how Aubrey be. Real quick, I'll be like, yo, what are you doing? She be like, nothing. I be like, don't do that. She be like, what? I'm like, yo, where did she get? I don't know where she be like, what? It's kind of fun. You have to see it. You have to really be there to see, like, the timing of it be perfect. Like, and she'll get us, too. And then we'll it's hilarious. But anyway, I just felt like doing it. I'm channeling my inner Aubrey right now. But I'm sorry, Corey. What were you saying?
That was funny. No, I was just saying I was tempted to become a hoe. Because that's actually, like, after I got my heart broken, I actually told the guy I'm going to become a hoe. I actually said that, and I'm really surprised I didn't, but I was tempted to do that, but I did what Tara did, chopped all my hair off, got like a really short haircut, was all in the club, dancing on everybody, and so the temptation really was there, and I think what saved me, to be honest, was the fact that I was still living at home, and had I had my own place at the time, the story probably would have been completely different. My number of partners wouldn't have been two at all. Might have been 10. So I'm actually thankful that things played out the way that they did.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a blessing. I'll be honest with you, Courtney. I mean, you're very special because, I mean, most women that I've ever met who've had the experiences that you have had the heartbreak, that have had the emotions being toyed with and played with and even have played the level of games that you played back in the day and are even around to be able to share the stories and to help, you know, through private counseling. I mean, I'm actually surprised that you have not done those things because the vast majority, I'm talking about hundreds, and I'm not knocking any of those women because, you know, anyone can change, but I'm just saying I'm surprised that you're not one of those women who's had to overcome a promiscuous past. You know, and again, I want to be clear about that. You know, it is very possible. I've personally helped many women with promiscuous past become wives. That's why I've been in business for 10 years. You know, this is our 10-year anniversary year. I mean, this is what I do. But, you know, that being said, you know, don't be the one, you know, making the mistake, you know, to have to learn from that mistake. You can learn from mistakes without necessarily being the one who's made them, all right? That's why we do these shows. That's why we share the stories so you can hear and see, you know, what men used to do, what women used to do and had to deal with the effects of. And that's why we tell these stories. But, yeah, so like she said, I mean, Courtney knows, cutting the hair off. Ladies, let me just tell you something. Don't do that. Please don't do that. I said online earlier, I mean, Tara, and I said at the beginning of this season, I was like, wow. I said, Tara, she's actually, in my opinion, like very beautiful. Very beautiful woman, like just, you know, from what it appeared in the beginning of the show, you know, nice natural hair, you know, had that, you know, relatively, you know, low level of makeup, you know, just kind of dressed classy, well-spoken. I mean, I was like, wow, I was actually kind of impressed and surprised that, you know, someone like that would be, you know, a part of a show like that, but looks like I gave her a little bit too much credit, but all that being said, just from a physical perspective, she went ahead and cut all her hair off, and I'm just like, wow, it's just not, I said online, it's just not a good look. That short haircut wasn't working on her. I mean, it's cool for some people, but ladies, you got to know what works for you, all right? Just know what works for you. You know what I mean? Some things, everything isn't for everybody. Men like, and let me just say this. I'm going to say this real quick. I might get in trouble, but, you know, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't know what it is. A lot of women, they have it half right. They think that, oh, men like long hair, which is generally, in my experience, it's very true. Most men I know prefer women with long hair. I'm not going to lie to y'all. You know, y'all might be mad at me, but you can be. I'm still going to be real with you. Most men that I've ever met, in fact, to be honest, I've never met a man who prefers a woman with short hair over long hair. Will some men deal with it? Yeah, but I've never ever met a man that I know of that prefers a short hair woman over a long hair woman. That being said, the key word in this whole equation is real. No one wants the weave, okay? And so what a lot of women will do is they say, well, because my hair might not grow, I'm not familiar with how to get it to grow, my hair isn't, you know, that texture or whatever, let me just, you know, put on this wig, let me put on this weave, and then I'll kill two birds with one stone, make myself feel better, and give men what they want. No, men want, if it's real, it's real. If it's long, it's long. That's great, but it has to be yours. And so don't do that. And so Tara, she just took it, you know, to the extreme with the whole cutting of the hair off. And I'm sure we'll see her with some type of, you know, wig on, you know, at some point in the near future. But you know, just do it the right way. It's you know, that's why we do these shows. You know, we try to give you guys a blueprint, literally, on what to do. You know, and that's what, I mean, if you really listen to the show, the success stories I have are people who literally listen every night, the people who are doing private counseling sessions. You know, I mean, those are the women who are married, like, literally within, like, the next few years. You know, they're just, like, totally different people. You know, I mean, you surround yourself with positivity, you're gonna have good things happen to you. My mom always used to tell me, good things happen to good kids. Like, so if we got a good report card, you know, we would get something good. We get, you know, something we'd always wanted. You know, and just, you know, if you do the right things, you're gonna get what you want. What else? But so that's Tara and you know, Peter Guns. You look at the whole Amina Butterfly situation, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know. Peter is an interesting guy. Now, there's a lot to talk about with this whole thing. I mean, on one hand, you know, I'm not going to say I respect him, you know, but, you know, because I don't, because he's definitely a weirdo and a loser and the epitome of the worst possible type of man that anyone would want to deal with. But aside from all that, you know, it does take some courage and, you know, to sit up on a stage, you know, next to two women that you're you know, clearly emotionally connected to, sexually connected to, and just be like, look, I mean, you know, this is what it is. I mean, you know, yeah, I was dealing with you. You know, yeah, I had sex with you, but I married her, and then I went back and had sex with you. Like, it's actually ridiculous, to be honest. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm still borderline, like, okay, this whole thing is just totally fake. You know, it's just too crazy. It's definitely scripted, you know, and that's why I said just about all the time scripted, and in many cases downright, you know, orchestrated specifically for ratings. You know, I think what happened with this situation is they found, you know, they saw how, you know, just monumentally successful the whole Stevie J situation was with Jocelyn and you know, and the chick, and they said, all right, we're going to, you know, make you the new Stevie J. You know, Peter Gunn's even referenced it in that little rap he came up with, you know what I'm saying, something about Stevie J. I mean, and that's, it seems to be, you know, to be honest with you, fake. But even if it's not fake, the situation is real. You know what I'm saying? It's real for you. It's real for Courtney back in the day. It's real for you guys listening in. You guys, whether you know it or not, you know, because for a while, Tara didn't know that she was the other woman. She thought that she was the woman. Next thing you know, this dude is married to somebody else. That's how it happens. Okay? One of the things that's interesting is that he said that, I think Monique asked him, she was like, you know, if you, you know, if someone was up there writing a song for her, performing a song for her, would you feel some type of way? And he was like, yeah. And I mean, if you looked at Amina's face, that was a very embarrassing, you know, moment. Because here you are saying, hearing your husband, which is a complete, you know, mockery of, you know, what the word, you know, intends that the sanctity of marriage to be, you know. But aside from that, I mean, you're sitting here watching your husband say that he would be jealous, you know, of another man expressing his love for a woman that he's not even with anymore. I mean, that's ludicrous. And that's like me saying, oh, yeah, I'd be jealous about so-and-so, you know, if they were, like, no, I'm married. Like, that's crazy. Can you imagine that, Courtney?
No, that's crazy. That is so crazy to me. I can only imagine her face.
Yeah, I mean, just go on your DVR. You don't have to imagine it. It's right there. You taped it, right? Come on.
No, I didn't.
You don't got to imagine it. Just hit play.
Why are you trying to play people every night? No, I didn't watch it. I didn't tape it either.
No. All right, cool. No, I'm saying that's true. You know, it's not cool, you know, but it's so real. I was watching the Grammys. We talked about it. We did the Grammy special. I meant to touch on this. We talked the previous week about, you know, men and what, how to avoid, you know, them, you know, being targeted for men running a train on you. Shout out to everybody who tuned into that show. Probably one of the realest shows we've ever done. You know, I shared stories I never even thought I'd share on this show. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it happened. Shout out to Mar for being honest as well. But one of the things is I saw something very familiar with Beyoncé. What we're talking about, you know, in this moment with the look on Amina's face was a very similar and familiar look that we saw with Beyoncé at the Grammys. When Jamie Foxx was publicly and even ridiculously lusting after Beyoncé, you know, but in a sexual manner, you know, it's, you could tell that, I mean, and I don't want to get too deep with it, not tonight at least, but you could tell that, you know, when, and she even admits this, when she's on stage, something comes over her. That demon goes inside of her and takes over her body, and a lot of times it takes her to another place. It doesn't, it's not even what she doesn't even remember it, you know. And if you looked at her face when she was sitting there, she just looked bewildered. And if it's still in your DVR, go back and watch it. You'll see what I mean. Like when he was like, oh, man, Jay, you know, you going to be mad at me, and I'm sorry, bro, but I'm, you know, sitting out there lusting after your wife, you know what I'm saying? Like, and she's just like, she looked really uncomfortable. That same look, I'm like, why, where have I seen that look? That look is the same way women look right before or even right after men run a train on them. Right after you are being objectified by an entire fraternity. You're being objectified and sexualized by an entire football or basketball team. You know that people are only looking at you for a physical, for what you can do physically and sexually. It has nothing to do with it. Did you guys see that? Like, really watch it. She looked very uncomfortable. It's like he's making jokes, and it's just like, you ever see, and the fellas, I know I'm really talking to the fellas. Like, the fellas know. Like, you ever see a hoe? A woman who's really put themselves into a hoeish situation, like you're about to run a train. There's always jokes made. I shouldn't even say this, but if y'all really want to know what I'm talking about, just go watch some type of porn. You ever watch the beginning of some type of a porno or something where they're like, there's always like that uncomfortable conversation in the beginning of it where he's like talking to her and playing with her. She doesn't know whether to laugh or to, be sarcastic or say something kind of stupid. Next thing you know, she's like, going down and giving him head. It's like, what the heck? And that's the same way Beyonce looked in that moment. And many women know what I'm talking about. And all I'm saying is don't allow yourselves to be objectified and sexualized, when you're so much better than that. Don't ever allow yourself to be made uncomfortable. Make no mistake about it. Jamie Foxx was playing her. It wasn't anything, it wasn't like terms of endearment that he was giving her. He was basically saying, like, you're a hoe. The same way he was looking at her was the way he would look at a woman that he's making it rain on at the strip club. Like, that's the same exact way. That's not a comfortable place to be. You have any idea what I'm talking about, Courtney?
I have every idea what you're talking about. I've had that look before. So I know exactly, what that is. I remember feeling that way after, because I had messed around with two guys that were in the same fraternity. And after that, they would both, come around and basically just, like, flirt with me and say sexual things to me in public in front of their frat brothers. And I felt so uncomfortable, and I tried to laugh it off, but I had that same look that Beyonce had. It was just like I felt so uncomfortable because I knew that they all thought that I was a hoe.
Yeah, that's deep. That's deep. This is Beyonce we're talking about, the beloved mistress of the universe, as Oprah calls her, but being looked at as nothing more than a two-bit whore. You know what I'm saying? The same types of women, who used to allow the frat guys and the athletes to run trains on them. I'll tell you guys a story that I've told many times here on the show, but for the newer listeners, I was back in college. I actually moved out of the frat house. There was some wild stuff that happened on in the house, where I lived at. So I was like, I need my own space. But it was like, mid-semester or the end of a, semester, whatever. So I was like, all right, it was a short notice. So I just looked in the paper. I was like, where can I live? Someplace that wasn't too far from campus. So I ended up getting this, I moved into this two-bedroom apartment with this white chick, and she was, it wasn't anything crazy. Literally, I just needed a place to stay, for that semester. And it was cool. It actually worked out. I had a nice little room. I had access to the kitchen. We shared the bathroom. She had her groceries. I had, it was like totally, separate. I might have paid one-fifth. Rent was like $375 for the month. So my rent was like extremely cheap. So I did that. But the point of the story was she was just a whore. She was just like straight up hoe. She was like obese too. She was maybe like, like something like 300-400 pounds or something, but she was just like every night that bed was like, I mean, it was like, but she was like huge, so it was like boom, 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 boom. Like, it was like crazy, the most ridiculous thing you ever heard in your life. And the walls were like extra thin, and our rooms were like, you know, right next to each other. It was just like crazy. But, you know, that, hey, I didn't judge her. I mean, she was cool. She paid her rent. She was clean. I had no problem with it. I just needed a place to stay. But I would literally see, you know, these dudes coming in and out. I mean, literally, I'm telling you, I was there for a semester, you know, and literally, I kid you not, there might have been one or two weekends the whole semester that she didn't have somebody up at the crib, you know. And one time I was going to the bathroom. I got up, like it was like a Saturday morning, you know, was going down to get a glass of water, go to the bathroom. On my way back to my room, and I see, you know, I pass this dude in the hall. He's like some huge 6'5", you know, diesel, you know, football player dude. I recognized him. I was like, oh, what's up, man? What's going on? You know, he was like chilling, man. Oh, he looked like he saw a ghost. I'm like, oh, you live here? I was like, yeah, you know, hey, you know, but it's just, you know, I'm just here. You know what I mean? That's all you. He's like, make sure you don't tell nobody you saw me here. I was like, hey, no problem. You know what I mean? I said, hey, it's just between me and you. I'm half asleep. You know what I mean? I want no problems. But he was serious, though. He, you know, and what I'm saying is he didn't want anyone to know him, or he didn't want anyone to know that he was there. He wanted to be totally anonymous. Why? Because he was having sex with literally what turned out to be the campus hoe. And ladies, all I'm saying is, You don't want to be viewed in that way. You don't want to be viewed in that manner. And because, you know, when I would see her in the hallway, she would even make those same types of, you know, uncomfortable jokes. I was like, oh, she was like, oh, I heard you saw my friend. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I was like, oh, okay. And I just played dumb. Like, I didn't hear her rocking the whole house at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, okay, was that your boyfriend? She said, oh, no, that's just a friend of mine. You know, I met him last night at the party. I'm like, what the? Like, you dirty chick. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like, what do you say to that? Like, oh, okay, you're a hoe. All right, cool. You know, oh, how was it? Like, you know what I'm saying? But she just laughed it off like, you know, like Courtney did. You know, and I'm just saying that's not something you want to, just don't put yourself in those types of situations. Crazy, man. I was like, well, I gotta get out of there, man. I was like, yo, when's my lease up again? Shoot, let me get back in this newspaper and go to a classified. Like, oh, you got the paper? You got the classified section? You know, I brought your newspaper. I'm like, yo, I get about. I mean, it was crazy, you know, man. I didn't want people looking at me like that. I didn't even think she was like that, but you know, once I was there for at least maybe like a month, I was like, wow. Like, the first time, I was like, okay, maybe she had a little company, maybe that's her, you know, whatever. But it was like a different guy every week. So we're looking at, we're talking about reality, though. You know what I'm saying? I just posted that online. I posted, you know, never turn to the bed of a man, you know, to take your mind off, you know, of another man who, you know, who broke your heart. It's just not worth it. All right? Let's look at some of these other situations, though. One of the people I want to talk about, Erica Jean in Saigon. Saigon. Now, it's an interesting situation. Not one of the more popular situations on the show, but very interesting nonetheless. Because here we have two people who slept together, who produced a child, and now they're in a situation where they're trying to make it work specifically for that child. But what a lot of people, men and women, don't realize is that trying to make a relationship work for a child is actually going to do that child more harm than good. What y'all don't realize is it's better for a child to have no father, okay, than to have a bad father, a deadbeat father, you know, or grow up seeing their father and mother engaged in drama, in turmoil, you know, in strife. These are things that will cause that child, a little boy or a girl, to grow up with a skewed impression of what love is, of what family is. And a lot of times what happens is those are the little girls who grow up dealing with the same types of men. Those are the little boys who end up growing to be men, similar to their father, not respecting women. What y'all got to realize, ladies, is this. It's pretty hard as a boy, you know, who's growing up to be a man, to respect women. I mean, really think about it. It's hard for men to respect women if, you know, their own mom doesn't respect themselves. It's like if you grow up as a boy seeing a man dog you, you know, having sex with different guys, sneaking men into the crib when you think that they're asleep, you know, it's like, I mean, how can you respect women if your own mom is a hoe? You know, I can only imagine that young woman, that story we told y'all on the show about the trains, where five guys came in and ran a train on the young woman, and, you know, the kid was asleep. I mean, I can only imagine that was, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago maybe? I can only imagine how he views women now, you know, as a man, a young man. That's crazy. You know, but, you know, it's reality. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, as you watch them, I mean, this is someone who this guy disrespected her, you know, F you and da-da-da, you fake this, fake that, you know, all you good for is sex and that, and she's F you. It's just like, you know, it became physical at one point, and now these are two people talking about moving in together. Not, mind you, not talking about marriage, not talking about actually even being together, but about living together, being a family. Family is going to consist of stability, you know, and commitment and trust and honesty and respect. And so, I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but I think we're going to get it. We got a little glimpse of it, you know, yesterday. But if you look at next week's episode, I think we're going to see the end of Erica Jean and Saigon. I mean, as if it was ever really began to begin with, but, you know, it's just those types of situations are destined for disaster. Are you familiar with their situation at all?
Yes, I am. And it's
I know you are.
That, here we go. Yeah, I am. And it was obvious just from the onset of it, of what we saw with them, that he never wanted her. I mean, it was so obvious. It was just all about sex for him. And, you know, they didn't mean to produce a child, but, you know, they did. And I think he's trying to be there for his son. But I remember, you know, it was so bad between the two of them that he wanted to do a paternity test. You know, he just wanted to make sure if he's investing that much time in the boy that is his, because otherwise he doesn't want to have any connection to Erica. It's just bad because she wants more and he doesn't.
Right. And it's you're right. I mean, that must have been a real long 5 minutes, though. I'm just saying, Quinn. I mean, how long was that 5 minutes? I'm sorry. My bad.
No.
But no, seriously, though. I'm just saying. This must be the extended version or something. I don't know. But with Saigon and Erica, you guys got to look at that. I mean, we just got finished talking about on Saturday night on the Perfect Wife show how important trust is, all right? And we just said that if a man can't trust you, you can't trust him, and he's never going to really fully commit to you. And so this is somebody, like Courtney said, this guy, he wanted to get a paternity test. He didn't even think that the kid was his. After he found out that she had a baby, he just disappeared. And that's why the father was so mad at him. That's why she was so mad. This dude just disappeared. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing to do with her. It wasn't nothing to do with the kid. Now all of a sudden he comes back and says, okay, let's try to make it work, but I want to get a paternity test. That right there tells you, like, yo, I think you're a hoe. We did a show, in fact, Gerald and I, several years ago, on paternity test. We actually got an ass date on. If I had more time, I would go through my archives and try to find that actual question. But it was pertaining to a young man who you know, was asking, you know, he loves his girl, whatever, but should he get a paternity test? Me and Gerald gave him some really great advice. And the advice was that, you know, in a nutshell, I mean, you got to make a decision. You know, you really got, as a man, you got to make a decision. What's more important to you? Because if you say, I want a paternity test, then that basically means that you're taking away any chance of you having a successful relationship with that young woman. But if you really want to know if that kid is yours and that's what's most important to you, then I say get a test. But you can't have both. You can't have both. You can't get it. You cannot be with somebody, say you love them, say you want to spend the rest of your life with them, but at the end of the day say, I think in the back of my mind you're a liar. I think in the back of my mind that you're a whore because you slept with me and you slept with somebody else in the same period to the point where that baby might not be mine, which would make that woman a hoe, let's be clear. So you can't say, I think you're a hoe and I think you're a liar, but I love you and I want to be with you for the rest of my life. You can't do that. You're right there totally dissolving any chance there is at a relationship. Now, if you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to put everything outside of my mind. I'm going to put these thoughts out of my head, and this baby is mine. You're not a liar. You are honest. You're telling me you didn't sleep with anybody else. I believe you. You just got to ride it out. I couldn't do both. It's either one or the other. Now, if you know that you don't want to be with that woman, and you just that's just what it is, you know you're not going to be with her, then I say get the test. So at least you can know with some certainty that the kid is yours or he's not yours, and you can feel comfortable having that child in your life. That was my advice. But you can't have both. I don't know, but that's just, I mean, you know, different people feel differently. But me, I can't be with somebody who I'd already think is a hoe. I can't. If I think you slept with somebody, then I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't be with you. What are your thoughts, though, on it?
You're right. I will say that it's funny how the men will demand a paternity test and, you know, like you said, calling the woman a liar or a hoe, all that stuff. And then after all of that, they go and have sex with the woman. And it's just this back and forth, just a lot of drama. So I agree with you. You do have to, you have to pick one. Stop playing games.
Yeah, it's crazy out here. You just got to pick one and, you know, and just ride it out, you know. Or, you know, you could always just do what the Word says and, you know, really trust God and pray about it. Because a lot of times when you pray about stuff, that just, you know, not a lot of times, but that's just how it works. When you really ask God for guidance, he's not going to steer you in the wrong direction. It's just a matter of do you or do you not want to, you know, follow, you know, his word. You know what I'm saying? Follow, you know, what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Because, you know, if you have that uncomfortable feeling, then that means it's you know, probably not, you know, what where you should be. So that's that situation. I mean, I think we can all agree that that situation is, you know, it's on its way, you know, out of there. Who else should we talk about? Jim Jones. A new show. Well, not new show, but I think it's like their second season on, you know, Chrissy and Mr. Jones. I mean, the situation is ridiculous. We all saw them, you know, their story originate on Love and Hip Hop, same type of thing, together for, you know, 10 years, 8 years, whatever it was. Next thing you know, she's proposing to him. We did a whole show on them. If you guys caught that one, check out, just Google Love and Hip Hop, you know, on the Dayton Tolbert show. We've done a couple. Probably did one on season 1. I know we did one on season 2. We've talked about them a number of times because it's just a great situation to really illustrate what happens so often in the black community, you know, quote-unquote ride-or-die chick, you know, ends up staying, you know, with the wrong man who's clearly, you know, dealing with other women, clearly having sex with other women. These women are letting them smash raw, resulting in babies, STDs, all types of, you know, drama. And it's just a never-ending story. But, I mean, it's not even too much to say about it. I mean, clearly, this is someone who is comfortable with her. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of women, they mistake comfortability for love. They mistake a man's comfort, you know what I'm saying, with a man seeing a future with them. Ladies, let me just simplify everything. We do not go from sex to love, okay? That does not happen. lot of women hope that it will happen. A lot of women think that it will happen. They think, okay, yeah, we went there. Yeah, we had sex. Yeah, you know, this happened. But, you know, hopefully it will develop. I'm hoping, you know, because I'll stick around, I'll show him I'm a good woman, then he'll eventually look at me more than that Friday night freak. But unfortunately, ladies, that's not how it works. He actually never will truly view you in that manner. He may say he does. It may appear that he does. But deep down, you know, he's going to be viewing you the same way he did when he met you. And, you know, that's why the commitment doesn't come the way you want it to. That's why, you know, it's on again, off again. It's because he's convincing himself, or trying to convince himself, you know, that it could be what it was. He's convincing himself that, you know, you're worth cutting off all these other women that he's currently having sex with. That's what it is. You see, a lot of women don't realize that. It takes a lot for a man to cut off current women that he's having sex with and just be with you. It takes a lot for that. So, you know, if he's going to do that, then he's got to really, there's got to really be something special about you. And if you're really not doing anything special, in fact, you're doing the same things that a lot of the other women are, that he's having sex with are still doing, there's not a lot of reason for him to let that whole lifestyle stay in the past and then move forward with a future with you, which is why it doesn't happen. And I think that Chrissy and Jim Jones is a really good example of that. You know, Chrissy seems to be a good homemaker. She seems to have a good business mind. Jim Jones is very business-oriented. You know, she's a good mother or stepmother or whatever to his son, you know, whatever you guys want to call that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to want to be with her. You know what I mean? Like, you got to want to just say the heck with it and, you know, and just say, I'm all in. And he clearly doesn't want that. He likes having her there, but he doesn't want the whole thing. And that is, I promise you, we're about to talk about T.I. and Tiny. I mean, it's inevitable. All these situations have an expiration date. Whether expiration is 15 years, 10 years, you know, I counsel a young woman who has been dealing with a guy on and off for 17 years. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, that is going to be many of these situations that we're seeing. You know, the Joe and Tahiri, you know, Jim Jones and Chrissy, all these long-term situations, that's how they're going to end up. But they will end up, you know, that same way at some point. So any thoughts on those two?
Not really. I don't really have anything really to add to that. I was done when she proposed to him, and that was a long time ago, but I was through.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, I think people, you know, they want the happy ending, but, I mean, you can't always have what you want. You know, you've got to do it the right way, and if you don't, you know, there are going to be repercussions. T.I. and Tiny, since I mentioned them, you know, another interesting situation. I mean, I think you really got to look at, I mean, if you follow, you know, hip-hop, if you've been following, you know, their relationship, same thing. I mean, they've been together on again, off again for what? I mean, forever. I mean, 10 years, I mean, you know, 15, who knows? I mean, forever. And so, I mean, clearly, you know, T.I. was reluctant, you know, to marry her. I mean, that's obvious. You know, broke up with her, you know, cheated on her. I mean, he was dealing with you know, what is it, Hoops, you know, from Lovin', no, you know, from Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like he doesn't want to be with her. I mean, T.I., to me, is the best rapper, you know, out there right now. You know, I mean, I followed his career, you know, for the whole time. I do enjoy listening to, you know, some hip-hop, or I should say used to, not so much anymore, but, you know, I mean, he's one of the more talented, just on a strictly hip-hop, you know, perspective, one of the most consistent rappers in history, to be honest with you. One of the very few rappers who's been able to achieve both commercial success as well as maintain street credibility. I'd say probably, you know, Jay-Z, Eminem, T.I., it's very few that have actually been able to maintain that level of you know, both worlds. So in a very select group, usually it's either one or the other. You got your commercial success, like your Nelly and your, you know, Ja Rule, but never really got that, you know, street credibility or whatever. You know what I mean? And so I guess my point, though, is, you know, if you listen to him, if you follow him, and this is someone who's clearly, you know, enjoying his fame, his celebrity, he's enjoying the groupies, he raps about, you know, getting head in the Ferrari, and, yeah, I mean, like now, like going on tours, and you know what I mean? Like, and it's just like, okay, like your show, you know, what is it? The Family Hustle, you know, it airs. You're a family man, but yet you're rapping about this other lifestyle. And I think that, it's, you know, people will ignore it, but it's just like, you know, at what point as a man do you say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for? You know what I'm saying? I mean, even Jay-Z, you look at some of his lyrics, he still talks about, what do you say? It's one lyric in particular. He says, he's like, I'm acting brand new, like I'm on at a show or something like that. Now I'm acting brand new, like basically alluding to the fact that he just had sex with somebody, but then he runs into her afterwards and he's acting brand new, like nothing ever happened, like he never even knew her because he's married. You know what I'm saying? This stuff actually happens. You see what I'm saying? Like, anyone who thinks Jay-Z hasn't smashed off a couple of chicks since he's been with Beyonce is an idiot. I mean, like, he clearly has. Most of these rappers have. Most of these basketball players have. You know, I think that we got to just look at, you know, what do you want? Do you want a man who glorifies, you know, casual sex, one-night stands, or do you want someone who's passionate about you and only you? You know, I mean, I just pulled up these lyrics from Love This Life. A lot of people asked me to touch on it. I don't know if you guys saw, but, you know, I get these headlines, these, you know, news stories, and about a week and a half ago, T.I., you know, put something up on his Instagram page basically saying that his marriage is over, his relationship is over, that today's the first day of the rest of his life, and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, people who will remain anonymous, you know, said that they could confirm that the separation was, you know, official. I mean, and it's just like, I mean, I believe it, but if you look at what we're talking about, he doesn't want to be there. This is someone who said, okay, yes, she's been there for me. Yes, she's been, you know, everyone knows we're together, but I do what I do, but let me just try to give it a shot. That is not what you want, ladies. You don't want someone who reluctantly commits to you, someone who reluctantly marries you, okay? That's not what you want. Yeah, it might happen, but that's not success. That's not the goal. You want a man who's on fire for you, a man who's passionate about you. I mean, I would assume. I mean, isn't that what you would prefer?
Yes.
Right. I mean, anyone who says otherwise would be lying. There's a song that he came out with entitled Love This Life. I posted it in the group. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he says, I know you get kind of carried away with yourself, but why don't you be real with me and be real with you at the same time? You can't get what you get here, no one else, Ma. Keep it real. Bitch, you know you love this life. Don't nobody do you like me. You know you love. Bitch, you know you love this life. Don't nobody do you like me. Cavalli dress and high heels, drop tops on Hot Wheels. We live how we want to live cause we got meals. The mother niggas barely buy a hot meal. You know what I'm saying? What is this? Invisible bracelet, see clearly. Take away your stress, mean that sincerely. Problem solve them, never mind that. Girlfriend see your bag, be like, where you find that? What the F's a prenup? You ain't got to sign that. You get up, take half, I'm going to make it right back. What kind of, I mean, the song is kind of catchy. I mean, it has a cool, you know, beat, you know, I mean, T.I., he can rap, but I'm just like, I mean, you know, certain things, it's like, okay, is this reality, is this fantasy? But, like, everybody knows you're married. You know what I'm saying? Like, you made a song about married life. You say in it, what the F's a prenup? Basically, like, who else would he be talking about? He ain't married to nobody else. He says, you get up, take half, I'm going to make it right back. I'm a mother effing hustler, you know? What's the sense in leaving me? You'll be back effing with them busters. Bentley for your birthday, Gouliard purse day. Deal with them stacks, know you got to love that. Bitch, you know you love this life. Like, that's crazy. The family hustle, that big house, the meals, the trips, the bags that you guys get a chance to see. He's saying, like, he's calling his wife a bitch. And this is the this is stuff that his kids, his daughters, his sons are going to hear. Their father calling their mother a bitch. I mean, that's one of the most ridiculous things that I've probably ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. Any thoughts on that, Courtney?
I didn't even know it was like that between the two, to be honest, because they had just painted this picture of T.I. that he was just like this great, loving husband and was in love with Tiny. Like, that's what I thought for the longest. And so I'll be honest, I was just ignorant to all of this. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let me look at something here. Let me read you. It says, you leave me, where else you think you could get this? Yeah, you could get another guy to beat that P-U-S-S-Y for you. Them niggas cowards, though. I'll take a bullet for you. Mansions, jewelry. All I need is for you and me to have some understanding. Have a couple candid conversations. Your frustrations I take into consideration. I'm rough around the edges. And you're sadly mistaken if you think that I'm in the chasing. My heart is RSVP. I've extended an invitation. And don't go wasting your time with what they say online. Your position's divine. Don't believe. Look around. I got a strong mind and a kind heart with a soft kiss, but I love hard. I mean, and I'm just looking at this. I'm reading the lyrics. I mean, on one hand, he's calling her a bitch. But on the other hand, he's saying he's got a strong mind and a kind heart. With a soft kiss, but I love heart. Like, what are you talking about, T.I.? Like, what are you saying? You just told her that if she leaves you, you know, you know, it's cool. But you love her and you want to, man, bitch, you love this life. Don't nobody do you like me. You know you love, bitch, you know you love this life. And that's, it just goes on and on. But so, I mean, this is the type of stuff we're talking about, you know, because I've even been guilty of this in the past myself. You know, I think I remember when the show first came on, we discussed it briefly and we were talking about, you know, how the show did a good job of showing, you know, that, you know, different family situations and how he appeared to be a good father. I mean, and the show is good for that. It's good for showing him in a positive light and showing, you know, how the two of them interact positively. But, I mean, for people like me who actually know what it is, who actually listen to the music, who actually are familiar with the lyrics, it's just like the ultimate hypocrisy. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a song about the relationship. This guy's done whole songs about groupie hoes and threesomes and menages, like, he'll talk about doing his album just came out. He'll talk about going on tour and smashing off hoes after the tour. Like, of his current tour. And, like, nobody, like, says anything about this. It's like, oh, okay. But, yeah, we'll just watch The Family Hustle and pretend that that's what it is, as opposed to listening to his music. You know what I'm saying? And Jay-Z's the same way. You know, Kanye West the same way. Like, all these people, you know, it's people are, most of it is crazy because people don't listen to the music. You know, most of these women who love Beyonce really have no idea what Beyonce's lyrics are actually talking about. Most of the people who support Jay-Z have no idea what the imagery and the symbolism in his music means, what the lyrics mean, when it's actually right there in front of you. So that's kind of all I wanted to say about T.I. and Tiny. You know, and Courtney, you know we were going to do this show, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, we have been talking about this for a very long time.
Yeah, I sent you the flyer, like, yo, check out this flyer. That was like 6 months ago we were going to do this show, but and it was, I just saved it. You know, I saved it. It's just been on my desktop chilling. I was like, you know what? I'm like, wow, this is tonight's the night. You know, I got to let stuff mentally marinate. You know what I mean? I wasn't ready to talk about all of it now, but until now. But who else should we talk about? Marrying the Game. You know, you look at the Game, you look at Tiffany. Was that her name? Tiffany. Yeah, Tiffany. I mean, the whole situation, ironically, is called, you know, Marrying the Game, but they're not getting married. You know, this is another situation where he just doesn't want to. I mean, I told you guys at the beginning of the show, everyone we're going to talk about is the other woman. You know, whether they realize, like, Tara knows she's the other woman. Amina Butterfly knows she's the other woman. You know, all these women, they know they're the other woman. But people like, you know, Tiny, it's not as obvious. But clearly she's the other woman. Saigon has another woman. That's just what you may or may not see. Tiffany Cambridge, she is the other woman. But you got to realize, this dude is going, I mean, it's so obvious. It's so obvious, guys. You guys got to look at it. If a man isn't feeling you, if he's not trying to make you his wife, don't be naive and think that he's not smashing off other women. Please don't think that. That's the only reason why he's not, you know, moving forward with you is because he wants to continue having sex with other women. It's evident in all of these situations. Jim Jones, they don't show that on Chrissy and Mr. Jones, but don't for a second think that he's not smashing off other women. All right? That's just what, you know, obviously they're not going to show that on camera. They're not going to show, you know, T.I. going backstage after the, you know, the shows and you know, enjoying himself with the groupies. I mean, let's be serious here, guys. I'm just being honest. This is the real game. This is what happens. A lot of women think it's sweet out there. They say, oh, yeah, we just had a big fight. Or, you know, he disappears for a week, but as long as he comes home, he just needs some time away. What do you think he was doing during that time away? What do you think, he was just sleeping by himself? Twiddling his thumb? No, that's the time when he, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you know, T.I., when he rolls out, I mean, I'm pretty sure he wants to enjoy a little something other than Tiny every so often. Everybody wants to just act like it's, you know, it's sweet. It's, oh, okay, yeah, T.I. and Tiny, they have this great marriage. No, they don't. Not with lyrics like that. Okay? When you don't respect someone, then, you know, to think that you would not cheat on them would be ridiculous. It's unfortunate. But, you know, and that's what I'm saying to you. A lot of women will be disrespected. A lot of women will, you know, find themselves in off, you know, on-again, off-again situations, having fights, blow-ups. But don't just let it stop there. Understand that there's more going on. There's more to the story. Okay? Just because he comes back with a gift or with whatever, don't think, don't let that cause you to forget what he was doing while he was gone. All right? Same thing with the Game. You know, if you guys notice, I mean, there's a reason why she's so jealous. They're not, they do a good job of not saying it, but she says, I don't like your lifestyle. She has really no problem with his lifestyle. I mean, he's a rapper from Compton. She knows his life. She knows that he's a rapper. She knows he's going to be in the studio for long hours. She doesn't have a problem with him being in the studio. She has a problem with the fact that he goes away and he has sex with women. She has a problem with the fact that he claims he's in the studio for these long hours, but in reality is out with his hoes. That's what she really has a problem with. I mean, come on, what woman who marries a rapper has a problem with that rapper being in the studio? You know, this guy goes away to get, you know, brings home $100,000 checks per show. He gets $100,000 a show. I'm pretty sure she doesn't have a problem with that. What she has a problem with is him going away to these shows and after he gets that $100,000 check, celebrating with his homies, running trains on women like these, like they do. That's the real problem, but they don't, you know, they don't really say that. But, I mean, you guys are women. Think of it. You don't care about that. You know what it is. It's like, you know, a basketball wife having a problem with their man being gone half the year because they have road games. I mean, that's what he does. You're not going to have a problem with that. But you're going to have a problem with it if, while he's gone, he's smashing hoes. You see what I'm saying, Courtney?
Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't really make sense because it's like if you know what's going on and if you know what he's doing, why are you still sticking around? You know, is it, my question is the lifestyle, is that really what's keeping you there? You know, the nice purses and shoes and clothes? Because otherwise, I mean, I feel like you should just walk away. You know what's going on.
Well, I mean, and that's what it is. That's the problem, is that, you know, a lot of women do know what's going on, but because they've become so accustomed to a lifestyle, because they have such a level of low self-esteem, of dependency issues, that, you know, they would rather stay than to face the lie of the enemy that they're going to be alone forever. And the lie of the enemy, that's one of the things that we work on through private counseling, is, you know, the lies. You know, the lies of the enemy that we as Christians believe. You know, and so that's the problem. The reason they stay is because they want to, you know, they just don't want to be alone. That's, you know, plain and simple. You know, which is unfortunate. Phaedra and Apollo, another interesting situation. You know, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Phaedra and Apollo is a very interesting. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but he's in jail right now. He was you know, running a credit card and identity theft you know, ring down in the Atlanta area. That's actually what he went to jail initially for. Several years ago, he was arrested. I think about a couple weeks ago, and I believe is still in jail. The young woman who was his partner. Evidently set him up or got caught and snitched on him, was wearing a wire, and I believe they have hours of, you know, him and her on tape, you know, going over the plans. And I mean, this is just one of those things where, you know, I've heard, you know, I think I showed Danny some stuff from like maybe even several months ago, it was just like about her being involved. You got to look at the situation. Phaedra is no idiot. When you lay down with dogs, you get fleas. What was going on is Apollo was about that check. All right, he's about that bread. He's about that money. Okay, and Phaedra was, from what I understand, bankrolling a lot of his schemes, you know, conspiring, you know, to be a part of a number of his schemes. And she knows the deal. You know, she got him off. She represented him. And so this is somebody who took advantage of a situation, you know, was smashing it off. She was helping him financially. It was a win-win situation for both of them. Had a couple kids. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he's a criminal. You know, I'm just saying, that's just what it is. And I think that a lot of women, one, they find, you know, an appeal in that. You know, these handsome guys, the thugged out look, I mean, that's just what they're into. I shouldn't say, because nobody's into that, but it's what they feel like will give them the best chance of achieving the types of things that they didn't have as a child growing up from their father. And, you know, she stayed. So obviously Apollo was flirting with Kenya. He probably most likely smashed off Kenya, as well as a number of other women. Clearly is not emotionally connected to her. I mean, you can just look at that and tell. I mean, and, you know, it's just one of those things that is all too common in the black community. You know, men using women for whatever they're using them for, women staying out of, you know, their dependency, and then, you know, this stuff hits the fan and everything ends in disaster, which is what we see now. She knew the deal. Anyone who says, oh, she just didn't know that he was into all this illegal activity is crazy. Were you aware of all his extracurricular activities?
Yes. Yeah, I was. That's, it seems like they have more of a business relationship anyway, more so than love. You know, if you see how it's portrayed on TV.
Right. And I think that, you know, you want to just get to a situation where, you know, it is about love, you know, as opposed to just pretending it's love or hoping that it's love. You know, you want the real thing. Now, you know, all that being said, I was extremely entertained by watching Apollo beat up the gay dude because, I think he's a weirdo. He's a loser. It was just a very entertaining thing. I mean, but see, one thing you guys got to realize, as entertaining as it was, and I was saying this on the thread, you guys got to realize, see, reality shows are driven by ratings, obviously, you know, but they're driven by drama. The drama drives the ratings. What's more dramatic than seeing a fight? You know, if you look at when the Housewives was at its height, its peak, you know, was when NeNe was fighting with Kim Zolciak. You know, Cherie was fighting with Kim. Like, it was a whole bunch of drama. That's what people want to see with all reality shows. They might act like they want to watch the regular, you know, wholesome family life. But those shows ultimately get canceled. Look at Run's House. Look at Snoop Dogg. He even had a reality show for a brief amount of time. Sinbad had a reality show. I mean, people, you know, you look at the Tia and Tamara twins. I mean, their show is in limbo right now. A lot of these shows that focus on wholesome family lives, you know, nobody really wants to see that. The only reality shows that really stand the test of time are the ones with fights and drama. The Bad Girls is in like its 13th season or something crazy like that. I mean, look at Real World. I mean, these are all shows that have fights. And so people actually criticized Basketball Wives of L.A. last season because there were relatively no fights. This season, you can already tell there are going to be more fights. They're going to spice it up. They get rid of people who don't bring drama. Housewives was widely criticized last season because it was just boring. And I'll be honest with you, it was boring. I'm not going to lie to y'all, sitting in front for y'all. It was kind of boring this season. Now everybody's, Candy's talking about beating somebody up, dragging people out. Apollo's beating up the gay dude. You know, it's all types of stuff. That's what people want to see. You know, and on another note, have you noticed that on every single show, every single reality show on television, there is a gay person, a prominent gay person that's shown and showcased in conjunction with one of the main characters? Have you noticed that, Courtney?
Yes.
Every
always.
Single one. Always. Always. Whether it's Love and Hip Hop, The Housewives, I don't care what show. Just what, there's a huge gay agenda in this country, and you really got to really look biblically at what, you know, why that is. You know what I'm saying? That's like something that obviously God calls an abomination. You know, everything that happens now is really with the purpose of moving us back towards, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, and whether it's homosexuality, whether it's bestiality, you know, orgies, sex, corruption. You know, it's just, that's just where we're going towards. I mean, and the government and the powers that be, they're actually passionate about moving us forward so that we can go backwards, you know, back to how it was back in the day, you know. And anyone is crazy if they think that our leaders, Obama and them and whoever's coming after Obama and people who are before Obama, everyone, the way that you get put into that office is by subscribing to that global worldwide agenda. You know, it's, you know, you're not going to get into office if you want to change anything, which is absolutely ridiculous. The way you get into office is actually by going with the flow, going with the program. You try to actually change something, you end up like JFK. You try to change something, you end up like MLK or you know, RFK or Malcolm X. That's what happens when you really try to change, when you really represent change. All right, that's just a little history lesson for y'all. But that's what we're seeing on the, you know, just illustrated on the Housewives, as well as, you know, all these other, you know, shows out here. but, yeah, I'm sure people will be tuned in next week to see Candy dragging the chick, you know, see who she's going to drag out. Is that something you're going to watch for more than 5 minutes?
I watch Real Housewives. So I've been watching it from the beginning, like from the very beginning, from the first season. So, yeah, I'll be watching.
One of the things y'all got to, if you look on the Housewives, the Dayton Tolbert show is actually, back when we've had a lot of reality shows, you know, like that's one of the things I was passionate about. Like we had, you guys remember Callie from Flavor of Love? No, not from Flavor of Love. What the heck was Callie from? Was it The Real World? You remember what I'm talking about. The heck was Callie from? I don't remember. The Asian chick. I think it was Flavor of Love. You know, I think about it. Yeah. Although it probably wasn't. Something else, actually. Maybe is it Ray J? Nah, I forget. Anyway, I'll look it up. But anyway, we had her on there. We had the chick from The Real World on, the black chick from The Real World, whose name escapes me at the moment, NeNe Leakes. A lot of reality shows over the last 10 or so years. And our show is actually one of the only shows where NeNe went into great detail about talking about her life as a stripper, as well as her experience with domestic violence. So she alluded to it a little bit, not alluded to it, she actually spoke about it briefly, which was surprising because you very rarely hear her talk about it. But if you guys listen to the archives of my interview with her, she went into great detail about, you know, why she was a stripper and, you know, what that life was like. So definitely check out the archives if you missed that from several years ago. Although I will say this, though. I mean, I've said this before. I don't like to bash people, but we've had probably hundreds of celebrity guests over the years, and I probably have, my wife will agree to this, like she was one of the most unprofessional guests that have ever been on this show. Can you believe that? Like, of all the guests that we've had, you know, and, I mean, some pretty big celebrities, just authors and just actors. And she was, like, probably the most unprofessional of them all. Just as far as, like, the booking and, you know, getting her actually on the show. The interview was cool. I'm talking about leading up to that, and I don't want to get too detailed, but extremely unprofessional. Is that hard to believe, Courtney?
Not at all. No, I'm not surprised.
I'm just like, wow, man. It's like these people, man. But, you know, it is what it is. Who else? I mean, Joe Budden and Tahiri, I mean, we kind of talked about it the other night. But one thing I'll say that we saw last night, I was kind of, I liked what Joe Budden, I like Joe Budden. I'm glad Joe Budden said what he said, because Tahiri is, you know, one of those women who's really feeling herself a little too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a little bit too much. And I think that she was starting to think that, you know, because she had a lot more power than she had, and he was just like, yo, I mean, he said, do I look like, what do you say, do I look like, you know, women is a problem? He said, you got things misconstrued. And I've told women that back in the day myself, you know, and a lot of women do get things misconstrued, you know, and they start trying to, you know, play hard to get and, you know, thinking that they can just say any old thing. And, I mean, the reality is that they are very much so, I'm not going to say in love because that would be a perversion of what the word says about love, but they are very much so emotionally connected. She's practically crying. He's super pissed off. And I want y'all to get, I mean, because you could tell he's hurt. Joe Budden is a very cool, calm, and collected person 90% of the time. You know, and so when you see him getting, like, super, super mad, you know, like that, to the point where he was on that show, we did a show years ago on the emotions of men, you can tell that he actually has serious feelings for her. And even, I mean, he'll admit that, but it was just evident that when two people can have that level of emotion, whether regardless of the emotion, whether it's, you know, anger, you know, sex, you know, happiness, joy, whatever it is, it's passion. And that's how you can tell that they're still very much so connected. So as he said in the past, their story will never be 100% over. You know, there will be more to come from, I can guarantee you, when you're on that level, you know, it's never really over, which is unfortunate for many people. I mean, it can be when you put God first and allow God to break that soul tie, but I don't see God breaking that soul tie for those two anytime soon because they don't appear to be, you know, Christians who are on fire for God, which is the only way to break a soul tie. If you guys missed our special on soul ties, how to identify them, how to break them from a biblical perspective, definitely just Google that, you know, on the Dayton Tolbert show, and, you know, you can actually listen in. Remember that show me, you, and Reverend Ann did a couple years ago?
Yes, I do. One of my favorites.
Yeah, man. Soul ties are deep, man. People think that, oh, yeah, we're just going to have a little sex. We hooked up. Yeah, you can hook up all you want to, but you can be real hooked up, you know, for life. Because those soul ties ain't no joke. You know, the Bible speaks about soul. That's what I'm saying. Listen to that show. You know, and I guarantee you, forget that show. Listen to the show on fornication. You know, what the Bible says about fornication. Y'all want to talk about sex? We can talk about sex. You know, the Bible talks about sex a lot. You know, we as people are the only ones that aren't really talking about it, but the Bible speaks about it all the time. You know, who else can we talk about? Erica Mena. Erica Mena, sin. Sin, just ridiculous, man. I mean, you got a lesbian love affair here. You got Rich Dollaz. Two weirdos. I mean, let me just say this. He's a cornball for snitching. You know, and me and my homie were talking about that the other day. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're as a man, that's like, I don't know if you guys as women realize, but, you know, what he did was just like the most corniest thing that a man could ever do. That's how you know when you're a loser. When you do something like that, when you you have sex with a young woman and then you go and run your mouth about it, it's bad to run your mouth about it, period. But then when you do it specifically to, you know, get that woman in trouble with the person that she's dealing with at that point, I mean, that's just, like, he literally ran back to sin and was just like, oh, yeah, da 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 da. And she was like, what do you mean? You know, he's like, hey, what do you think I mean? You're like a little kid. I mean, this guy's like 45 years old acting like a high school kid. It was just really ridiculous. I mean, he gets up there, he thinks he's so cool, and then he tries to be tough. I'm just like, yo, like, just go somewhere. Just go sit down. But, you know, and be honest, there's probably never a better example. You'll probably never see a better example of what we call a non-elite man in the history of the world than Rich Dollaz. I mean, he's just like the worst of the worst. Like, you never want to deal with a man like that, ladies. I mean, he's like the worst possible man that I've personally ever seen depicted on television. You know what I mean? Seriously. I mean, could you think of a better example of a non-elite man than Rich Dollaz?
No, I can't. That's why I started laughing when you mentioned him, because he's so ridiculous.
I mean, just on so many levels, he's just like the worst. But aside from that, you know, when you look at the level of passion that those two have, you know, the cussing and the anger and it's just like, and the other girl, I kind of almost feel bad for her because she's just, now she's emotionally invested because she wasn't at first, but now she's been brought into their drama. Now she's a participant and she's having a hard time letting go because at first she wasn't even really into Erica Mena like that. She was just like, look, I mean, we can be friends and see how it goes. Next thing you know, she's like talking about she's in love with her and they want to spend the rest of their lives together. I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. But it's just one big mess. You know, we talk about how to avoid being the other women. Ironically, their situation is really no different from Tara and Peter Guns and Amina Butterfly. It's just, you know, you add the lesbian aspect to it, the situations are actually the same. So it's all just, it's very sad. In fact, I said online, I mean, Love and Hip Hop, you know, aside from everything else, but Just Love and Hip Hop really epitomizes 90% of what's wrong with the black community in regards to dating, in regards to love, relationships, you know, even marriage. You know, I mean, literally, it epitomizes it. You look at everything that's going on in the show, the relationships, that's literally 90% of black love, what relationships in the black community consist of, from the baby mama drama to the broken marriages to the cheating to the lies to the sex. I mean, I say 90% because, I mean, you look at successful marriages, you look at the divorce rate is over 60% in the black community. You look at the marriages who are actually still together that are just unhealthy and on their way to divorce, that's probably another 20 to 30%. So you look at, I mean, really it's like only about a good, you know, 10% of successful marriages and relationships in the black community and that will actually survive. But then again, the Bible confirms that because it says 1 in 1,000 men will be a true man of God. And the only way you're going to have a true man of God is if you're an emotionally available woman. And the Bible straight up says, who can find a virtuous woman? So, I mean, it's really, you got to just really follow the word, and it all makes perfect sense when you look at the grand scheme of things. What we do here on this show through private counseling with Tolbert Relationship Counseling, our goal is to help you as women find your way into that 10%. You know, when you look at statistics, yeah, you know, the odds are against you. If you do it by the world standards, yeah, you're going to be divorced, guaranteed, or not married at all. That's how it's going to go. But when you trust God, you'll find yourself in that 10%. What else? Who else do we need to talk about briefly, man? I'm trying to go to sleep. You know what I mean? Courtney, we ain't going to be up till midnight tonight. You know what I mean?
Are you sure? You say that.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh,
trust
me.
You know how you are.
Oh, no. I'm about to play the you know, the music in about good 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Get ready to hear some, how's the song go? Well, y'all hear it in a few minutes. You know what I mean? But, there was somebody else I wanted to talk about. Erica Mena and Rich Snitching. Oh, Yandy's and Mendeecees. going back to Phaedra and Apollo in them. You know, when you look at Yandy, I mean, I think, you know, she does a really good job of playing the, you know, the supportive wife, you know, oh, woe is me, you know, this horrible thing. We're going to just keep praying that something good happens. And, you know, he's exonerated from these false charges. Oh, boy, he's got to turn himself in, and I'm just so heartbroken, and oh my gosh, what is my family going to do? And this is all such a shock to me. I can't believe. I'm just like, you know, will you stop it? Mm-hmm. You know, like, really just stop it. Stop the fake tears. Stop the BS. I mean, ladies, you got to take responsibility. She knows that he's a drug dealer. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be honest. Be honest with yourself. Like, at least say what it is. Like, I used to read a lot of literature. Like, I'm being an author, you know, like, a lot of times you'll see, you know, books and you'll see movies and stories about, you know, ride or die women who know what it is, you know, and they just, you know, they support their man. I have more respect for women who at least keep it real. Like, if you're like Apollo and Phaedra, like, Phaedra, just be honest. Like, okay, yeah, you know, I did some things. You know, we washed certain money through the legal system and through, you know, this whole funeral home, which is really a front for some other things. I mean, just be honest. I mean, I know you can only say but so much, but don't sit there and act stupid like you can't understand why he's in jail. Why, you know what I mean? Like, you know he's a drug dealer. This guy's been selling drugs for like 2 years. You know, like that Joel Santana's studio got raided a couple of years ago. They found coke. You know, Yandy used to manage Jim Jones. You know what I'm saying? Jim Jones and Mendeecees and Joel Santana, like, you guys got to connect the dots. Jim Jones ain't selling no records. I ain't never seen nobody with no Vamp Life t-shirts on. What, you know what I'm saying? Vampire Life. What the heck? Come on, man. I mean, seriously. Vamp Life? What kind of vampire stuff? These dudes, man, like Lady Vamp. What is Lady Vamp? I ain't never seen no women with no Lady Vamp on. This guy got cars and jewels and balling. Like, balling what? Like, what are you talking about? These guys are drug dealers. You guys know that, right? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yes, these guys are selling drugs. It's all going to come out, I promise you. Next thing you know, you're going to say, oh, Jim Jones, oh, you know, star of the hit reality show, you know, Christian, oh, was indicted on this and that. Jewels was just in the media like a couple years ago. They raided his studio. They found coke. Mendici's in jail. Yandy playing the victim. This is all one big thing. And I say all that to say, you know, ladies, it's a lot of y'all out there. Not all of you, but some of y'all like dealing with these thug niggas, okay? It turns you on. You like it, you know? And you really got to be honest. Like, if you know what it is, that life does not end well. It doesn't go anywhere. They, you know, either they're going to be dead or in jail, like Mendici's. You're not, nobody just, for whatever reason, those men, they don't just walk away. Even Robert De Niro in Heat, he couldn't walk away. You know, it's always that one last thing. And you know, so you don't know nothing about this. You're like, what, Heat? What you know about Heat, Corey? You don't know nothing. You know Heat's one of the best movies of all time. You didn't even see it, did you?
Don't lie. No, I haven't.
Come on,
no,
Courtney.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's your homework assignment this week. You know you got to watch that. Do you guys out there know about Heat? Heat is regarded, and this is just like a known thing amongst what appears to be men, but just one of the best movies, top five movies, not just mob movies or crime movies, but just movies, period, of all time. Well, how many times can you guys see Robert De Niro and Al Pacino sitting face to face at a dinner table, at a, you know what I mean, at a diner, you know what I mean? Just the ultimate movie, man. But yeah, watch that movie. Y'all watching Love and Hip Hop? Watch Heat. You know what I mean? Y'all watching Love Jones? That's, yo, that Heat is a real movie. But anyway, you know, so I just say, you know, just if you're gonna do it, I don't recommend you do it. But if you're gonna do it, at least be prepared for the consequences. And there will be consequences. You know what I mean? She gets, I mean, it's just crazy when you watch it. She appears, like, no one is with someone for that amount of time and you don't know how they get their money. Like, my wife knows how I make my money. She knows what I do. Like, you know what I do. I sell cars. I do counseling. I'm just a hustler all around. Like, I got my hand in a lot of different things, you know, but she is a part of all of those things. You see what I'm saying? Mendici's does a lot of different things. Yandy knows about those things. Okay? Chrissy knows about those things. The chick that was dealing with Jewels, what's in it? Kim Bella knows about those things. And, you know, you got to be honest about it. So there's that. I mean, did we miss anybody? I mean, I think the Kardashians, real quick. We can't talk about reality TV and not talk about the Kardashians. I mean, what do you say about them? You know, I think we all know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Kim and Kanye have a, you know, a situation. I say a situation because it's mutually beneficial for both of them. You know, and I'm just telling y'all something. Like, that situation is going to end badly. I've said that before. I'll say it again. And the reason why I say that is because she's a young woman who has made some mistakes in her life. But at the end of the day, just like most women, all she wants is love. She's got money. She's got the fame. Those are things that are important to her, obviously. But I think now she's got the baby. But now she just wants that final piece, which is love. And so she searched and searched and searched and searched and searched. But she did what a lot of men, you know, do. She settled for Kanye. And I think everyone can kind of see, or maybe you can or you can't, but I can see that that's a relationship that she's settled for. You know, she didn't really want it, but it presented itself, and she said, okay, I'm going to take it and run with it. I think that Kanye is a very opportunistic person. He's got the fame. He has the fortune. Those are things that are important to him. He wanted that trophy. Kanye grew up as someone who was not cool, who could not get any girl he wanted. He said that publicly, you know, growing up. Now, you know, he has that complex of, now because I have this fame where I can do whatever I want, I wasn't able to do those things in high school and things in college, you know, where I wasn't really taken seriously, where I wasn't respected. Now you're going to respect me. That's his whole thing now, is respect. And, you know, it's obvious that now he wants that trophy wife just to kind of validate himself. And, you know, it's one of those situations that's mutually beneficial for both of them. But you cannot build a successful relationship on, you know, out of really using someone. And I'm not going to say they don't enjoy each other's company, but I mean, I don't even want to say too much about it. I just want you to watch the news. All these situations that we talk about and have been talking about over the years, we've never been wrong. It may be just a matter of time, but, you know, everything that we've said will happen at some point, you know, and which is unfortunate that some people have to go through these things just to learn, just to find out the hard way. But at the end of the day, we do these shows for you guys so that you can see, wow, okay, they made these mistakes. Let me learn from their mistakes. Let me not make those same mistakes myself. So I think that's it. I think that's all the couples I really wanted to talk about. I mean, Scott and Courtney, they have a very interesting relationship, Chloe and Lamar. I mean, we've said all of this. You know, Chloe and Lamar, we did a show on them. We said they'll be divorced. You know, I said that I enjoyed how she treated him and, like, all that stuff. But we predicted that they, you know, it's going to end in about 5 years. You see what's going on. I told my wife when I first started watching the show, I'd even watch the Kardashians. I told her, I'll get her right now on the line. I said, yo, I promise you, they'll be divorced. And I couldn't believe how they interacted with each other. Next thing you know, Chris and Bruce are separated. You know, no surprise. So it's just a matter of time. Scott and Courtney, I promise you, they will go their separate ways within the next year or two. In fact, they'll all end up being single. The coolest one out of all of them is the little girls. Do you watch them, Courtney? Do you keep up with the Kardashians?
I sure don't. I didn't watch like two episodes.
Oh, so you? Oh, so oh, you watch these other shows? You watch the? Were you racist? Are you racist?
No.
So what you, Courtney? You watch the black buffoonery, but you don't watch the white buffoonery?
You don't let me finish. I've seen like two episodes, but you know I couldn't keep up with it. Well, wait, no, I did see when Courtney and Chloe take Miami. I think I saw that one, but then that's it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. I mean, certain shows, I mean, we might just have it on. I'll be multitasking. But, it's interesting stuff. It's entertaining stuff just to watch a lot of the stuff that we, you know, in fact, Kim Kardashian, more than other women, you know, really represents most of the women who I work with every day. You know, the women who, like I said, it's just that perpetual and often eternal search for love. A lot of people would like to label Kim Kardashian as a hoe, you know, but I don't view her as a hoe. Now, Kim Kardashian has done some very, like, Beyonce is a hoe. There's a very difference. A lot of people try to put them in the same boat, but, you know, Beyonce is an active hoe, whereas, and has always put herself into hoeish situation, has always presented herself as a hoe and still thrives on being and exhibiting hoeish behavior. That's not Kim Kardashian, if you noticed. You know what I'm saying? Kim has done certain things. Yes, she made the sex tape. Yes, she, you know, she's a model. She poses on certain things. But when you really look at her lifestyle as we see it, you know, portrayed in the media, she is a celebrity, but she's not out there every opportunity presenting herself as a hoe. You know what I'm saying? Her, what I believe, and I don't, obviously I don't know them personally, but from what it appears to me, is that her whole thing is just she wants to live her life. She's seeking love. She's seeking affirmation. You know, and she, like many other women out there, will go out and have sex and will go out and find themselves exhibiting hoe-ish behavior, but not for the sake of being a hoe because they think it's cool or desirable, but just because they weren't taught anything better. They weren't taught how to find love the right way. And that's what makes her so relatable to most women, because they see her, everyday woman who's made a lot of the same mistakes that they've made. A lot of you ladies, you guys may look at her however you look at her, but she's no different from you. I mean, how many men have you dated and end up having sex with, and then end up, you find out that he was an asshole, a bastard. You thought that he was cool, but he turned out to be a jerk. But you just happened to sleep with him. How many times has that happened in your life? What, 7, 8 times, 10, 11 times? Deal with somebody for a year, slept with them, find out it didn't work out. Okay, I mean, your number right now stands at about 14 or 15 guys. That's not so different from Kim Kardashian. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. So just, you know, I would just encourage you all to just say, hey, you know what? You know, be careful about judging, because we talked about this on the Grammy special. We actually defined the word judging. And what a lot of people do, a lot of people use that term incorrectly. But, you know, what with this situation is actually a great example of how people actually judge incorrectly, not like the word says to judge righteously, but they're just judging, but they're judging the speck in someone else's eye, but not seeing the log in their own eye. They're judging Kim Kardashian for being a quote-unquote hoe when they've actually done, and in many cases are still doing, the same thing sexually that she did. And ironically, are actually hoping for the same result that she got, not knowing how it's going to end, but still have had the sex that she's had, have dated the athletes, the rappers, the ballers, or whatever, and now we're hoping that one of those situations will end in a ring and a baby. But yet they judge her like she's the scum of the earth. How's that for irony, Courtney?
That's so true. That just reminded me of the experiment that you did in the friends group about what would you rate Kim Kardashian. And I saw the responses. It was more than just the number. It was like, you know, people had to give the reason why they rated her. And then the main reasons, it went back to her personal life and the decisions that she made. And that's what they based their rating off of. Not how she actually looks.
Right.
So that was a good example of that.
Absolutely, and that's why I did the experiment. And you guys, if you noticed, if you missed our show the other night where we actually went into detail on, you know, on that little experiment, you know, I didn't ask y'all nothing about her background. I just said strictly off looks. And there was a lot of hate on that thread, you know, specifically because, you know, one, just, you know, many women are insecure, you know, about their looks. And I no disrespect to anybody, but I don't want to hear anybody saying anything about Kim Kardashian from a physical perspective unless you look better than Kim Kardashian. I'm just being honest, because that's where it becomes hate. You know what I mean? Like, don't sit there and say she's average if you're average. You know, don't sit there and say she's ugly if, you know what I'm saying, if you're ugly. Or, you know what I'm saying, or you don't look better than her and you're calling her. Like, let's just be sensible here. You know, let's not go crazy. You know, and that's no disrespect to anyone, because I feel like we're all beautiful in our own way. But when you start hating based on insecurities within your own self, that's unattractive. Kim Kardashian is an attractive woman, so that no one should be saying she's ugly. No one should be saying that she's unattractive based on the things that she's done, you know, personally. That would just be ludicrous.
Yeah,
you know, and because I mean, cause, come on, Courtney, don't you know what I'm talking about? There were a lot of women on that thread who clearly, and I'm just being honest, don't look better than Kim Kardashian, but we're saying that she was ugly, and for me, that's crazy.
Right. I just think my thing is beauty is within the eye of the beholder, but it was obvious just because the comments that came after. It wasn't like it was some women that just answered the question and then others that answered it and said, well, this is why, because she did blah, blah, blah. Somebody gave her two. I would not give her two. But, yeah, I mean, it was uncalled for, the responses. I actually had someone message me after you did that experiment because they – had to do some self-reflection after they responded.
Wow, that's deep. They responded negatively?
Yes, and they felt bad about it. And they actually inboxed me about it.
Yeah, more power to them. I respect whoever that was. More power to you because, you know, it's nothing wrong with making a mistake, you know, but it's the worst part of making a mistake is to not ever self-reflect about that mistake so that you cannot make that mistake in the future. All right, guys, so, you know, that's our show for tonight. I thank you all for listening. You know, I just want to talk a little bit about reality, and as you see from tonight's show, you know, reality is just that. You know, it's reality. Reality TV is actually very indicative of what goes on in the black community as well as the country on a large scale. And, you know, I'm not advocating it. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, everybody go out and watch reality. But I'm just saying, you know, be very careful with looking down on it, pointing your finger at it, you know, when in reality what they're going through in many cases is what you've been through and even maybe some of your loved ones and friends and family are still going through. You know, it's just not being played out, you know, in the media. This was a light day. I probably did about 4 sessions today and normally doing about 7 or 8 sessions per day. And the vast majority of women that I'm working with privately can relate to everything that we're talking about on you know, tonight's show as well as other shows. So, you know, just use these shows if you watch them to, you know, just to kind of see what not to do and maybe some things that you can do better. So, you know, if you guys need any type of private counseling or you're going through something, we're going to be doing a lot more couples counseling. I have an office here in Philly. If you guys are in the Philadelphia, Jersey, Delaware area and you want to do some marriage counseling or, you know, relationship counseling, you're dealing with somebody and you want a third opinion, an alternate perspective, definitely reach out to me. My office is off of City Line Avenue. If you're here in this area, you can schedule an appointment, 855-55-DADON. Email me at dadon@trctoday.com. Or if you're, you know, outside of this city, nationally, internationally, wherever, I work with a number of women over in the England area, United Kingdom, you know, so definitely reach out. Wherever you're listening from, definitely reach out. And we can definitely, you know, do some teleconferencing. Look out for the new book, How to Win the Heart of an Elite Man in 365 Days or Less, coming this summer. Courtney also has a book coming out, which at this point, am I right, Courtney?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Courtney has a book coming out this summer. In fact, I mean, is there anything you want to say about it, just to let people know what they should expect?
Yeah, so this book is very real. You know, you guys hear about, you know, my testimonies on the show, but, you know, it's only so much, you know, that we can cover in 3 hours. And so this book is an opportunity for you to get a glimpse of, you know, basically everything I went through from childhood, you know, until now. The majority of it is based off of, you know, my real-life experiences. And I know that I've gotten some great feedback. A lot of people said that, like, wow, you know, I can relate to a lot of the things you went through. So expect realness. And so I'm so excited about it. I'm so, so excited about it. And I know that you guys are in for a treat.
Absolutely. So look out for that a little bit later on in the summer. And, you know, if you guys – I've got a chance to read, you know, several chapters from the book that Courtney's working on, and if you guys enjoyed my novel, The Love We Had, which people love specifically because of the realness, because it is, you know, 90% based on my life. Derek is me, you know, for the most part. A lot of fictional things, but a lot of real things in there as well. I would definitely say, you know, check out her book this summer when it comes out. So that's it, guys. I appreciate you for listening in. You know how we do it. Probably come back live a little bit later on in the week. Other than that, listen to us 365 days a year, 7 days a week. We don't take any days off, whether we're live, whether we're archived. It's all real. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll see y'all tomorrow night.
Great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Oh, you're coming up empty out there, caught your case of blues. I know a man who will pick you, time will tell you the truth. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let day don't be your motivation, child. Let day don't overcome and rock your world. Let day don't be your motivation, child. Let day don't over motivate you, girl. Let day don't be your motivation, child. Let day don't overcome and change your world. Don't ever let yourself settle for less. You don't have to be a fool. Call him up, let the tears fall. Little girl, don't be lost anymore. This brother has a master plan. Lean on his wisdom if you feel weak. I guarantee it will help you stand. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let
date on to overcome and change.